We begin with housing, a critical issue across the Triangle and here in Chapel Hill, Carrboro for sure. Chapel Hill recently brought in a consultant to help officials chart a course on future housing, and the results of those efforts were presented at Open Houses last week. With more on the Complete Community Initiative, here's 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell.
Becca Ferris-Chavez was one of dozens of people who walked around the information boards on display at the Sheraton Hotel last Thursday.
I moved here in 2000. I started first grade.
She said after returning to the area from college, she tried to find a long-term home that fit her affordability and ultimately,
I moved to Chatham County because that's where we could afford as young adults. And then when we look at Chapel Hill development in terms of what new construction is coming here, it's not. So I am one of those people that, yes, I needed to look elsewhere in order to find a place for me to live, but to be able to come back and still enjoy Chapel Hill.
Others attended the Complete Community Strategy sessions for their own reasons, but were all there to hear the recommendations from a team of urban planning consultants. The steering committee, which consists of a quartet of leading planners, aims to create tailored guidance for the town government and elected officials to follow in response to the 2021 housing report. Jennifer Keysmat, one of the project leaders with an international resume, described the process this summer as a fast-moving train. The team is compiling suggestions on how Chapel Hill can become a, quote, complete community. The urban planner described those communities as ones with a diversity of housing types, including density of middle-income and affordable options for residents in both existing and new neighborhoods. But Keysmat stressed that the vision for complete communities is not simply about constructing more buildings.
This is a really critical idea to overcome, that we just want to build housing. The goal is to build places that will have longevity over a very long period of time. To do so, we've created a framework based on conversations with a whole variety of different stakeholders, but also with council members, a framework for complete communities in Chapel Hill.
To craft guidelines for that achievement, the Complete Community Strategy team identified three objectives for their time with the town. Start building more consensus of where to develop and what matters to residents, exploring opportunities and compromises, and identifying a pilot project. Keysmat acknowledged that broad and bold thinking is required to create such plans to fit within the existing town's profile. She said she believes it's difficult but necessary.
You can't copy solutions from elsewhere in Chapel Hill. You can, but you'll get weird outcomes. And in some instances where you've done that, you have gotten weird outcomes.
The working group of planners held conversations with community members in July, August, and earlier this month. Keysmat said from those, the consultants identified four emerging directions nearly everyone wants for the town. The first three are to plan strategically for the future, plan for excellence in the public realm, and to expand and create greenways for everyday life. The final direction of be green similarly overlaps with many objectives of the framework, Keysmat said.
Being green, walking, cycling, doing things in a neighborhood walkshed, or being able to get on your bike and just hop over to another area, you're going to have to add more housing to deliver on that.
After the presentation, Chapel Hill Town Council member Jess Anderson shared some of her thoughts.
It's the density of housing along with the greenways, along with the ways of getting people out of their cars, along with the sustainability, along with the diverse mix of housing that leads to this kind of inclusive culture that we really want to be, and we want that to be who we are, but we're just not there yet. But I think we have the intention.
The steering committee will finalize its visioning plan and recommendations to Chapel Hill at the end of October. That's also when the plan suggests finding a pilot project for the town to test these strategies. Anderson said while she has no idea what that is right now, she's excited to see how community conversations drive what will be considered.
What we intend to do is have this pilot project emerge from those back and forth, those struggles, those, you know, coming to consensus around maybe this isn't exactly what I wanted, but I can live with it because I'm getting a lot of what I want and it's healthy for the whole community, not just me. So I think the pilot process is really meant to be something that shows the community that we are moving in a different direction.
Ferris Chavez said while she appreciates the addressing of hard truths in her hometown, she's waiting to celebrate until change actually happens.
There's enthusiasm and there's lots of ideas, which is positive, but when you have deadlines of 2040 and 2050, it's not very encouraging for me who wants to see this change now. Like, I don't think that me or my friends or other young professionals are going to wait to see what happens. They're going to go where the excitement is.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
Housing is also an issue in Chatham County, where there's already a lot of development in the works. On Monday, county commissioners got an update on a smaller project that could make a big difference, a tiny home village near Fearington called the Farm at Penny Lane. This is a partnership involving county government and UNC's psychiatry department. Here's County Commissioner Karen Howard.
There will be veterans living who are suffering from PTSD, where there will be people who've found themselves in mental health crises, people who have found themselves homeless because of mental health and lack of access to resources. And the wonderful thing about the farm at Penny Lane is there is actually a farm there. So there's fresh farm-to-fork meals, there's therapeutic services available there, there's counseling available on site. And it really is building a community of support around some of our most vulnerable community members. So that's been an exciting project. It's great to see that houses are being built and that the community is coming together. Incredible support, financial support has gotten them where they are. They're expecting to have 15 homes finished within the next few months and available for the applicants. People applied some time ago, but available for those people to take advantage of and live in a safe, secure space, because you really can't address mental health if people don't have the basics like housing and food and access to good health care.
That's County Commissioner Karen Howard there. Get the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com, and you can read more about the farm at Penny Lane at med.unc.edu. Elsewhere in the news, COVID-19 numbers continue to head in the right direction across North Carolina, with hospitalizations down slightly to around 1,000. There was an uptick in COVID particles found in wastewater this week, but that was after an unusually low reading last week. This week's number was still the second lowest for a week since June. And in Carrboro, the town council on Tuesday approved a 2% across-the-board pay increase for all town employees, following a study that showed town staff were making less than their counterparts in other municipalities. That pay increase will go into effect on October 8th. Starting salaries will also be increased for new hires. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Olmaz Jewelers. Tar Heel senior Kayla Smith took first place individually, and the UNC women's golf team finished third out of 14 teams at the Texas A&M Memorial this week. Smith shot 9 under par in the three-round tournament, first Tar Heel to win a tourney in more than 4 years. One UNC game in action today. The third-ranked Tar Heel women's soccer team is up in New York, taking on Syracuse at 7. Good luck to them. And, of course, we're just a couple days away from UNC football taking the field against Notre Dame. Thanks to their early start, Carolina has 2 bye weeks this year. They got one of them last week, and the Tar Heels are hoping to take advantage this Saturday. With your preview, 97.9 The Hill's Michael Coe.
Carolina's 2 bye weeks in 2022 mean the season is effectively divided into thirds. The first third of the season is now over, and while it was far from perfect, the Tar Heels emerged 3-0. It marked the end of a strange but challenging early non-conference slate, as now Notre Dame and 8 straight ACC games await to finish out the year. In the 14 days between UNC's win at Georgia State and the visit from the Fighting Irish, head coach Mack Brown said he and the Carolina staff have taken a look in the mirror.
We went back and reevaluated everything we're doing, both sides of the ball, because we've changed so much on offense. We gave a self-scouting report and a self-evaluation of all three phases. And it was really healthy. And we had some other people do it that weren't just sitting in the staff rooms all the time to be very critical of, you're doing this well, you're not doing this well, and you need to fix this.
Brown said Carolina's unique schedule for this season is perfectly suited to these reevaluations, not just this past week, but also for the next bye week in October.
I do feel like that the way our season is set up, with 3 games and then an open date, then 4 games, then an open date, with all the new that we have, a lot of young guys on offense, new coaches on defense, that we have a great opportunity here to reevaluate who we are, two or three different times during the season. So I think that'll really help us.
Coordinator Gene Chizik's defense came under the microscope during the bye week, and many of the findings haven't been pretty. Through three games, the unit has been one of the least efficient in the country, allowing almost 38 points and 470 yards per outing. Simply put, they will need to improve to handle the rough-and-tumble ACC. Fortunately for Carolina fans, Chizik said he has seen improvement from the defense since the reevaluation.
I think we can gauge progress. I really believe over the last four practices, I think we've made a lot of strides. I think the communication's gotten better. I think for, you know, to get a breather and go back and look at when you were playing poorly, why, and you can put it all together and look at not just, you know, a single event or a single game, but put three of them together, I think it's pretty glaring.
But even despite these glaring problems, Chizik said his defense won't alter too much of its game plan moving forward. Offensive coordinator Phil Longo struck a decidedly different tone when addressing his reevaluation. Redshirt freshman quarterback Drake May and the rest of the unit are fifth in the country in total yards per game and sixth in points scored. It's been a pleasant surprise for fans who might have suspected a drop-off after star quarterback Sam Howell's departure last winter. But Longo said he still sees areas where the offense can tighten up.
It's not perfect, but we're happy with the improvement, and we want that trend to continue in that direction. And I think where our biggest area that I'd like to see more improvement is in our first and second down execution in the run game. And that's been our focus last week, and it will be this week.
The Notre Dame rushing defense ranks just 95th in the country this year, allowing almost 170 yards per game on the ground. Carolina's rushing offense, led by star freshman Omarion Hampton, is averaging more than 237 yards per game on the ground, tied for 13th in the country. If Longo is seeking improvement in early down rushing, Saturday's game could provide a breakthrough. A sold-out crowd and a national TV audience will watch UNC try for that breakthrough, the first real opportunity for the Tar Heels to prove their 3-0 record is no fluke. It will also be Carolina's first home game in nearly a month. Brown said he is anxious to play in some friendly confines once again.
Seems like it's been 6 months since the last home game. We haven't been here in so long, and the crowd for Florida A&M was fantastic, and it was just a wonderful weekend. I expect this one to be the same. Virginia Tech's already sold out for next weekend, so it's a fun time for Carolina football. Fun challenge ahead this weekend.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Michael Coe.
Finally, in baseball, the Durham Bulls lost to Norfolk last night 13-9, but Scranton also lost, so the Bulls are still up a game and a half in the standings with seven games left in the season. Bulls are back in action tonight, hosting the Tides at 6:35.